God works on us. God changes our hearts. And as he changes our hearts, he changes our lives. He changes the way we see things. He changes the way we speak. He changes the way we move. And I know this week, I remembered I went to speak at Celebrate Recovery this week, and my message was on hope and how when we have Jesus Christ, we have all the hope we need because we have all the hope there is. See, Jesus is our only hope. There is no other hope. Sometimes we put our hope in our bank account. Sometimes we put our hope in a spouse. Sometimes we put our hope in our education or our job. But let me just tell you something. Anything that's not Jesus is a false hope. Because Jesus is the only one who is faithful. Jesus is the only one who can truly, truly be your hope. And I know, this past week, 9/11. I remember when I was sitting in my classroom that morning, and the principal of the school and other teachers came to my room because I was one of the only rooms that had a television set. And they said, turn on the TV. And I turned it on, and I saw what was happening in our country. And I remember, how many of you remember that morning? How many of you felt hopeless that morning? I don't know about you, but I did. I felt like the world was about to end. I really did. I mean, I thought we were all fixing to start bombing each other, and it was over. But I remember in that classroom, we started praying. Teachers and students, we just started praying. And we remembered that God is still on his throne. And that we are his children, and that we are not to live in fear, and we are not to live in doubt. We are to live in the strength of Jesus Christ. We are to live in the light of Jesus Christ, and we are to shine that light, even in the midst of darkness. And so, you know, this week there's been a lot of things that have happened that maybe have zapped you of your hope, maybe have taken away some of the light that you were walking in. But let me just tell you something. If you'll focus on Jesus Christ and you'll remember who he is and you'll remember who you are, then that hope will abound and that love will abound. And I believe that's what we need more and more in our world today. I heard a story about an old rich man who was cranky and miserable. And that's weird, isn't it? He was an old man. He had lived a long life. He had all the money he wanted, but yet he was cranky and miserable. So one day he went and visited a preacher right down the street, a preacher who lived a very simple life. And the preacher said, come on in. And so they started talking. And the preacher, he took him to a window in his house. And he asked that old man this question. He said, what do you see out of this window? And the old man said, I see some men and I see some women watching their children play in the grass. And then the preacher took him across the room to a mirror hanging on his wall, and he asked, what do you see? The old rich man said, well, obviously, I see me. And the preacher gently said to him, it's interesting, isn't it? Over there in the window, those are merely glass panes with some old wooden boards holding them together. But the glass in the mirror is covered with fine polished silver. And no sooner is the silver added to it that you cease to see others and only see yourself. That's pretty powerful. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments. And in one of those commandments, we find this one. Exodus 20 verse 17 says, you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. That's one of the Ten Commandments that was handed down by God to Moses. That word covet, this is what it means. It means a desire to possess. A desire to possess what belongs to another. There's actually a word that kind of goes with covet. And it's the word greed. You ever heard that word before? You ever known somebody who was greedy? Has anybody ever looked at you and called you greedy? kind of comes and goes, don't it? Well, that word greed, listen to this. That word greed means an excessive or reprehensible desire to acquire more. In the dictionary, a synonym for the word greed is covetousness. It means to covet. Pastor R.C. Sproul, the great preacher, he says that covetousness is the father of greed. That's pretty good. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his commentary, he talks about this commandment in Exodus chapter 17, and this is what he said. He said, this commandment is about controlling the desires of your heart. Controlling the desires of your heart. Sinful thoughts beget sinful actions, so it is no surprise that covetous people often break God's commandments in order to satisfy their greed. And I believe this is what we're dealing with in our world today. I believe we live in a world that is greedy. Matter of fact, I believe our world thrives on being greedy. I believe our world promotes and publicizes greed. And so today I want to show you a passage of scripture where Jesus deals with this. He deals with this attitude of the heart. He deals with this desire of the heart, and he gives us a parable. And the reason he gives us a parable is because there's a man in the crowd who comes to him not to hear what he says about the kingdom of God, but he wants Jesus to say something about his own kingdom. So watch what happens. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Does that sound like a kingdom of God issue to you? No, that sounds like a kingdom of me issue. Hey, Jesus, I don't really care what you got to say about God's kingdom. I need you to help me with my kingdom. That's what it sounds like. That's exactly what it is. So watch this. Verse 14, Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, so he's going to take what this man's heart and attitude is all about, and he's not only going to speak to this man, he's going to go ahead and speak to everybody. You want to know why? Because this man probably wasn't the only one out there guilty of a heart condition like this. And so I think he was talking to this man, absolutely. But I also think he was talking to the crowd that day, and I also think he was talking to Jeff Thomas when Jeff Thomas opened up the Word and read this passage of Scripture. And I believe today he's talking to you as well. So this is what he said, beginning in verse 15. He said to them, "Watch out." Sounds kind of like last week, don't it? "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of," what's that next word? "Greed." All kinds of greed. That means it can show up anywhere, anytime, in any kind of way. He said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Man, don't we need to hear that today? Because I'm afraid that what we are is we're all about gaining more and getting more and holding on to more, making sure we have enough. Jesus said, "Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And so he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool.'" Now, I don't know about you, but those are two words I never want to hear God say to me. God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." So what we see in this passage of scripture is really what we've seen the last couple of weeks. Jesus is warning his people. And so in this passage, Jesus gives this man a warning. And here's the warning. It's very simple and it's very clear. He said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. That's the warning. Watch out. Greed is all around you. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Now, if you read verse 13, the man that came to Jesus, we actually learn a lot about this man. He really was not there for what Jesus could give him spiritually. He was really only there for what Jesus could give him financially. For what Jesus could do for him and not for others. We also learn about the heart of Jesus in this passage, though, because Jesus cared enough about this man who came to him with a poor and selfish motive to actually warn him about it. Did you see that? Jesus didn't just brush him off or tell him to get lost. That's not what happened. And I'm going to tell you, many, many times when people come to us, And we can see, right? We can see the sin and we can just feel, right? We can just feel the darkness about people. It's really easy for us to brush them off or push them away. But Jesus didn't do that. See, we learned about the man's heart. The man's heart was not right. The man's heart was full of self. And so that's easy to see, but I hope you see Jesus' heart too. Because Jesus cared enough about this man to tell him the truth and to give him a warning. And Jesus warned him plainly, and then he also warned him with a parable. Because if you'll remember, when people ask, why do you speak in parables, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I speak in parables to both reveal truth, but also conceal truth. See, he knew that there would be people listening to him who truly wanted to hear about the kingdom of God and truly wanted to know Jesus more. And so when he would speak in a parable to them, it was to reveal the truth of the kingdom because he knew the Spirit of God would stir them and open their eyes and hearts. But he also knew that there were people there who didn't want anything to do with God and didn't want anything to do with the truth. And so when he spoke in a parable to them, they were like, what in the world is he talking about? Because they didn't want the truth anyway. And so Jesus, he warned him plainly, you better watch out because there's all kinds of greed around you and you're walking in it. And then he told them a parable. And when we find the parable, we find out about another rich man, right? And so we find out about this man, and I want to share with you a little bit about this man that Jesus talks about in the parable. Number one, the man in the parable was absolutely greedy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was greedy. One thing we know about greed, though, and let's not cast stones, right? Because, you know, it's real easy. We start reaching in our pockets trying to find something. We're going to say that, and we're going to tear him up. No, wait a minute. One thing we know about greed is that it appeals to everyone everywhere, don't it? It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It just don't seem to be enough, does it? We want the raise. We want a little bit more money so we can buy a little bit more stuff, so we can go on one more vacation, so we can just do a little bit more, so we can have a big steak in our refrigerator instead of a slice of ham. Doesn't matter what your social status is. Poor, middle, high, greed is right there. It's right there. It wants you. None of us are immune to covetousness. None of us are immune to being greedy. None of us are immune to wanting what someone else has. That's why I say you got to be careful with social media. Because in social media, people are putting all of their best stuff out there. Right? They're putting all of their highlight reels out there. And you start looking at those highlight reels and you start going, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go there. I wish I could have that. And all of a sudden you start pursuing those things and that stuff. And before you know it, you don't have the stuff. The stuff has you. And you forget all about who God is and you forget about who you are and you forget about your purpose in this life. It's not to glorify yourself. It's to glorify God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. The rich young man, this is what he said. Man, I got a lot. I got a lot. And so I need bigger. Did you see that? He said, I'm going to build me a bigger building. It wasn't the builder, the bigger building that was bad in and of itself. It was the reason. Did you hear me? Because you might be thinking, well, Brother Jeff, I've got a lot. Are you casting stones at me? No, I'm not. Some have a little, some have some have a lot. I'm not saying that it's bad in and of itself. I'm saying, what's the purpose behind it? What are you doing with it? Because that's really what comes into play. It wasn't that he was building a bigger building. It was the reason that he was building a bigger building. And guess who it was all about? Himself. So this man was greedy, no doubt about it. Not only that, this man in the parable was selfish. Did you hear me when I was reading that passage a while ago? I was highlighting some words. Did you hear me? I was kind of stressing some words. I was actually stressing two words. Did you hear how I used the words I and my? Right? I and my. How many times did he do that? Well, I'll tell you, right? Seven times. Seven times in this parable, he used the word I or my or myself. That is enough selfishness for every day of the week. Think about it. Seven times. He had enough selfishness for every day he woke up. This man's wealth and abundance, again, let me say this. This man's wealth and abundance was not the issue. The issue was all that wealth had him. He didn't really have it. It had him. He saw it as his own. He showed no intention of sharing with others. He showed no intention of blessing others. This man showed no compassion and he showed no generosity. He also showed no recognition to the God who gave it to him. Right? I planted the fields. I rode the fields. Those are my crops. That was his attitude. No thankfulness, and because he was not thankful to God, he had no intention of being a blessing, being compassionate, being generous. So this man was greedy, and this man was selfish, but probably the one thing that describes him most and is the most dangerous is this man in the parable was foolish. That is not a word to be thrown out lightly. That is not a word to be taken lightly when you see it in the Bible. And I'm going to just tell you something. That's not my word. That's the word God said. Do you see that? That's the word God said. That's the word God gave this rich man. God said to him in verse 20, "You fool." This man was foolish. Why? Because he trusted in created things and not the creator of things. That's why he was foolish. He put his trust in created things instead of putting his trust in the creator. Because I'm going to tell you something. Created things can be taken away. Stuff can be taken away. We can lose stuff, can't we? We can lose money fast. We can lose cars fast. We can lose houses in the blink of an eye. How many in our community just in the past year, their houses have burned up in fire? Gone. All the pictures, all the stuff gone overnight. How many of us can go one day running a 5K on the road as fast as we can and the next day finding out we have cancer? Finding out that we have a terminal illness. It can be gone like that. The Word of God, however, will last forever. Amen. The Creator of all things is eternal. And what you may or may not know is that you were created with eternity in mind. When God created you and me, he didn't create us for this earthly life. He created us for eternal life with him. Amen. This is not our home. We are sojourners, right, Sunday school class? We are foreigners. We belong to God. We don't belong to this earth. We belong to God. We were created by him, for him. And we were created on purpose, for purpose. And man, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we take our eyes off of God, when we lose focus of who he is and who we are and why we are, and we start putting our focus on the stuff, then you better watch out. You better watch out, because we have an enemy in this world. He's called the prince of this world. Our enemy is Satan. And he will use anything and everything he can to keep your eyes off of eternity, to keep your eyes off of the God who created you, to keep your eyes off of the one who lived and died and rose from the grave for you. He wants you to put your eyes on anything but God. He wants you to focus on the created things. He wants you to fall in love with the created things. You want to know why? Because he wants you to serve the created things. Because in serving the created things, what you're doing is serving yourself. And that is a foolish, foolish way to live. This man in the parable was greedy, he was selfish, and he was foolish. And Jesus tells him, after the parable is over, in that last verse, he tells him that he was physically rich, but spiritually poor. That's what this man was, physically rich. Oh, in the world standards, he had it all. He had it all. But in God's standards, he had nothing. He was spiritually bankrupt, but he didn't even know it. Jesus told the man who wanted him to divide the inheritance not to store up things for himself, but rather he has to look to God and be rich spiritually. What it really comes down to is this man had a heart problem. That's really what it all comes down to. He had a heart problem. See, instead of surrendering his heart to God, the creator of all things, he surrendered his heart to the stuff. And if we're not careful, we pray all day long for the blessings of God. God, help me do this. Help me do that. Help me have this. Help me have that. And we won't even ask God to be with us. We won't ask God to walk with us. We won't ask for God's presence in our lives. We'll ask for the stuff, the presence, so that we can be happy, so that we can be comfortable. This man had a heart problem. The trust of his heart was in his possessions and not in God. In reality, like I said earlier, he didn't really have his possessions. His possessions had him. His possessions had him. Paul David Tripp, he says this in his commentary. He says, the rich man's life is defined by his abundance of material possessions, when in fact, it was his Savior that he needed. He thought it was his possessions that he needed the most, right? When in fact, it was his Savior that he needed the most. He said it's difficult. This is what Paul David Tripp says. He said it's difficult, if not impossible, to live with eternity in view if our focus shrinks to the immediate desires that lead us to store up possessions for ourselves. It's hard to focus on eternity when we are focused on our own selfish desires. See, when we're focused on eternity, then what we do is we recognize that we're lost and we need God and he's done something about it. So we call on Jesus to save us. But then when we look at others, we also know that there are others walking all around us who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're focused on eternity and we want other people to be with us in eternity in heaven and not die and spend eternity in hell. And it's hard to view others, it's hard to view others with eternity in mind when all we're worried about is the boat in the driveway. Or the car being nice and shiny. Or the tank of gas being full so we can get to the Outback Steakhouse and have our steak for dinner. It's hard to have eternity in mind when we're so narrow-minded and focused on our own selves. It's impossible. Now again, please don't hear me wrong. I'll eat a good steak any day, okay? And sometimes God blesses me with that right in front of me. But does that have me or do I have it? And when I have those things, am I looking to God saying, God, thank you for blessing me. Now, how can I use what you've given me as a blessing to others? It's the same way with our talents. With our talents and our gifts, right? God gives us talents. He gives us the ability to do things in this world. The question is, are we doing things in this world so we can make much of us? Or are we doing things in this world so we can make much of him? Are we using our talents and our abilities to provide for ourselves? Or are we using our talents and abilities to help others who are needy, who need more than we need? Where is our focus? Because here's the thing. Wherever your focus is, that's where your heart is. Wherever your focus is, that's where your heart is. That's why I said this man, he had a heart issue. He had a heart issue. See, if Jesus is our Savior, then Jesus has our heart. If Jesus is truly our Lord, then Jesus has our heart. He has our trust. And the fruit of righteousness is compassion. The fruit of righteousness is generosity. The fruit of righteousness is love and mercy and grace. That's what it is. And when we receive that ourselves from God, we become a vessel of it to others. That's a God who has your heart. That's a God who has your trust. Pastor Chuck Swindoll, I love this. Man, this is powerful. Pastor Chuck Swindoll preached this one Sunday morning at his church, and I was listening to the sermon or reading the sermon. And I wrote this down a long time ago, and I had it on a sticky note in one of my Bibles, and I had it in Luke chapter 12. So I thank God for that, because that wasn't Jeff. That was God that did that a long time ago, knowing I'd be preaching this sermon this morning. Listen to what Pastor Chuck Swindoll said in one of his sermons. He said, we too often love things and use people. We too often love things and use people when we should be using things to love people. We are most content when we are grateful for what we have and generous to those in need. Can I read that one more time in case you missed it? We too often love things and use people when we should be using things to love people. When we are most content, right? We are most content when we are grateful for what we have and generous to those in need. I remember not too long ago, we were meeting together as deacons and staff, and we were just praying, and we were praying over each other. And I remember one of our deacons saying, you know, a word that just keeps coming to my heart and mind is generosity. I remember that deacon saying that, right? What that deacon don't know and what they didn't know in that meeting was a few months back when Brother Andy and Brother Jeremy and I were talking about Connected Family, which we have our Connected Family reveal tonight, and starting, you know, in a couple of Sundays, we're going to have home groups, and we're going to have a group here in Halley Hall, and we're going to be studying a series of messages. Do you know what God laid on my heart way back in the summer when we were just talking about Connected Family in the fall? I wrote down one word in my journal. Do you want to know what that word was? Generosity. I never said that to anybody. I just wrote it down and said, I think that's where we need to go. Lord, I think that's where you want me to go. And then that deacon said that in that meeting, and I was like, okay, God, you're right, you always are. Generosity. See, I believe the opposite of being greedy is being generous. I believe the opposite of covetousness is generosity. And I believe what Jesus is showing us in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus is saying to you and to me, if I truly am your Lord, if I'm truly your Savior, if you're truly a child of God, then I've got your heart. And I will put the desires in your heart so that you can be who the Father created you to be, so that you can live the way the Creator created you to live. And yes, you might have the stuff, but the stuff won't have you. And you'll realize that you were created to be a vessel of God's blessings. Do you remember Abraham back in Genesis? You remember what God told Abraham? I mean, it was incredible. God said, I choose you. That's incredible enough right there, right? When God says, I choose you, that's incredible enough. You don't even have to know what's next. Now, it might be scary, but it might be good. Well, I know it's going to be good if it's God. But God says, I choose you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And here's what he said. And the nations on earth will be blessed because of you. I will make you a great nation, and the nations on earth will be blessed through you. In other words, he told Abraham, I will not only bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that's what God is saying to you and me today. I believe God has called us to himself for relationship, intimate and personal. I believe in the God of salvation, and I thank God today I'm saved. But he didn't save me so I could live this life on earth the way I want to. He didn't save me so I could just have a get out of hell free card and party in heaven, live how I want to on earth and then party in heaven for eternity. No, he saved me so that I could actually be who he created me to be in the beginning. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He formed me. He created me. He said three words to me, you are mine. Isaiah 43:1. He said, I formed you and created you for my glory. Isaiah 43:7. He created me so that I wouldn't live in darkness, walk in darkness. He created me so that I might live in the light and walk in the light, his marvelous light. I am God's chosen people. I am his royal priesthood. I am his holy nation. I am his special possession so that I might declare his praises. The one who called me out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I pray I never forget that. You probably won't either because I tell it to you all the time. Well, good. 1 Peter 2:9, that's scripture. I hope I wear you out with that scripture. I hope you wake up in the morning going, oh man, I'm God's special possession. I need to declare his praises today because he called me out of darkness into wonderful light. If I tell you nothing else, I told you something good. I really do hope you wait. I hope we wake up tomorrow morning thinking that. It might change. Not my life, but somebody else's life who's in front of me. I want to ask you three questions in closing today. Three questions. Number one, do you view all that you have as a gift from God? Think about that for a moment. Do you view all that you have in this life as a gift from God? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you worked hard in school, right? How many of you studied, you worked hard in school, and you just paid attention, and you passed the test? How many of you went to college, and you got a degree? Maybe you got a master's degree. How many of you went into the workforce, and man, you got trained, and you're just an incredible electrician, an incredible plumber, an incredible farmer? How many of you just got incredible experiences, and you've just accomplished so much in life? I hope everybody in here could raise their hand and say, yeah, I've done that. But is that what you're putting your trust in? Is that what you're putting your trust in? Because here's the thing, if you're putting your trust in yourself, then you're all about rewarding yourself. Someone asked me a question one time. It doesn't really go with this one, but it does. Someone asked me one time, Brother Jeff, would you rather be known as successful or would you rather be known as significant? Kind of tricky, isn't it? How many of you want to succeed in life? So three of us? So that means the rest of you just want to lose? Like, let me start over. If I put you to sleep, we'll just go back to slide one and start all over. How many of you in this life want to be successful? I think we do. We want to succeed in our marriage. We want to succeed in school. We want to succeed in the workplace. We want to succeed at church. Absolutely. But let me just tell you something, okay? You could be successful and be insignificant and miss your purpose in this life. You can win all the ball games. You can win all the promotions at work. You can have all the money in the bank, and you could be deemed as what the world would call a success. But if you didn't make a difference in the kingdom of God, really and truly, you're insignificant. really and truly, you're insignificant. Because here's all that matters. All that matters is, what did you do with Jesus? Personally, what did you do with Jesus? He ain't worried about how fast I ran my 5K yesterday. Now, here's the thing. I want to give God glory in the way I perform. I want to give God glory in the way I live my life. So I absolutely want to give him my best. Colossians 3:17, right? Whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we do it to give thanks to God the Father. That's good. I want to succeed. I want to give my best. But here's the thing. I want to be significant. See, being significant means I made a difference in the life of somebody else. Not in this world, but in eternity. I want to encourage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to plant seeds of gospel anywhere and everywhere I go, in anybody's ear, in anybody's mind, in anybody's heart that I can. That's what I want. Because here's the thing, I can't save anybody. So I know that ahead of time. But what I can do is I can tell people about the God who saved me through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I can do that, okay? And you can do that. You can do that. But if Jesus Christ truly has your heart, if Jesus Christ truly has your life, then you're going to realize those moments when, wait a minute, I'm making this about me. Wait a minute, I'm living selfishly. Wait a minute, this is greedy of me. Wait a minute. And the Spirit will stir you and you'll repent of that and you'll turn from it. And I'm going to just tell you something. If you'll wake up each day and say, God, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing that you haven't given me. So how dare me pat myself on the back and make much of me today. I thank you, God, and I give you praise. And I'm going to tell you, it'll change your day. And one day after the next, it'll change your life. So do you view all that you have in this life as a gift from God? Question number two, because if you say yes to that, then question number two is actually going to be real easy. Are you living compassionately? Are you living generously? And are you living thankfully with the gifts that God has given you? Are you sharing the blessings of God with the people around you? Are you sharing this life and its blessings with others? That's how God created us. He created us not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And we see that from Abraham. We see that from Moses. You just keep going. We see that in the life of Daniel, right? Think about Daniel. God blessed him with wisdom, blessed him with good looks and strength. And he was taken into a foreign land with a foreign king. And nobody there knew who God was, but Daniel knew who God was. And he could have said, oh God, why am I here? Oh God, why did you do this to me? Oh God, but here's what it says. It said Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself with the ways of this world, with the ways of this kingdom. Rather, he said, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to pray to God and I ain't worried about success. I'm going to be significant. And you know what he did? He changed kings and kingdoms. God did that through him. You want to know why? Because he lived compassionately, he lived generously, and he lived thankfully. And God blessed him to be a blessing. Is that the way you're living? Is that the way I'm living? And here's the thing. Really and truly, when you look at those two questions, it really comes down to this one question. And it's the last question, and I'm done. Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Is Jesus the Savior of your life? Or is it your money? Is it your spouse? Is it your child? Is it your job? So many of us, we're worshiping our job. We're worshiping our title. We think, oh, if I don't have this job, if I don't have this title, then I won't have this paycheck. And if I don't have this paycheck, then I won't live. You've made your job. You've made your title. You've made money your Savior. And one day that job's going to be gone. Title's going to be gone. One day that money's going to be gone and you're going to stand before God and the only thing that's going to matter is, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? It's a powerful passage, amen? Amen. I pray that it's a wake-up call to me, because I am blessed. I am so blessed. I went home yesterday. And I just thought about all the people who love me. I thought about all the people who support me in this life, who encourage me. And I just sat there on that couch and I said, God, why me? Like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you showing me all of this love? And my buddy Trey from Fleet Feet texted me. And he said, man, thank you. He said, thank you for caring about people. That's what he said. Thank you for loving people. Thank you for just pouring into people. He said, Jeff, that's why people are there for you. It's because you're there for them. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't perfect. Because I can't be there for everybody. I can't. I can't be there for everybody at every time. I can sure try, but I can't. But I'm going to tell you something. My Jesus can. And if we, as a body, if we understand that we can go out and we can be there for people, right? We can be generous. We can be compassionate. And we can be thankful. Man, God will do something with that. And I don't know about you, but I want people, when they look at Start, I want people to look at Start and say, oh, great school. No, not that. That's good. Oh, Tim McGraw. No, that's good. But no, I want them to say, man, God's doing something there. That's a community where God is saving people and changing people, and they are living differently than every other place in the world. That's what I want. I want God's fingerprint to be all over Start, Louisiana. Don't you? It starts with you. It starts with me. Don't start looking around saying, well, I wish he would get right. I wish she would get right. You know what? You get right. Stop looking in the mirror that's adorned with silver and seeing yourself, and start looking outside the window pane and seeing men and women and children who need Jesus. Make it about them instead of making it about you. And this is a message for me. And you know what? This is a message for Start Baptist Church. We can build bigger buildings. I'm not attacking that. If you look around this room, we ain't got much left, do we? Okay? That's a great thing. But building a builder bigging can't come at the cost of avoiding people and avoiding the needs of people who are hungry, who need food, who need clothes, who need Jesus. That comes first. We'll pack it up. We'll have two services, three services. I don't care. I'll preach till my throat can't go no more, and then one of my deacons can come up because they'll read the same Bible I read from. Okay? We'll wear it out. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Does he have your heart? And if so, thank God for it. Amen? Amen. And then ask him. Ask him this question. Am I making this life about me, or am I making this life about you? If it's about me, Jesus, I repent. I turn from that. And Jesus, I need your help to open my eyes, open my mind, open my heart so that I can receive people and so that I can be significant in their lives.